Blog Talk Radio.
Upon a time when I'm an old one.
It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Claudia Cleary, and I would like to personally welcome all of you, everyone who is listening and involved in the show, to Namaste Nutrition. It is a gorgeous April day here in St. Louis, Missouri. The grass is starting to green up, and we're seeing flowers blooming on the trees. And after the winter that we've had, this is such a wonderful thing to see manifesting here, the shift of the seasons and the changes that we are all going through and growing from as we all move forward through life. I would like to extend an invitation to anybody who has specific nutritional questions to email me at claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. If this is the first time you're tuning in to listen to the show, I would like to say a personal welcome to all of you. And without any more, I would also like to extend a personal and very warm welcome to Lauren Lane Powell, who is our guest today. Lauren is a voice coach and a remarkable woman. I have been looking over some of the information about her accomplishments, quite an amazing person. She is a vocal coach and a singer, and the music that you heard at the intro to our show are songs that she has done herself. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Claudia. It's a delight to be here.
It's a delight to have you here. So I was looking over your bio, and you started to teach in 1989, but you must have been interested in singing before that. What got you interested in singing? Was there a specific turning point in your early life that got you involved and interested in singing and in music?
Well, I believe I was singing before I could speak. And Mom said I was singing harmony at the age of three. I came from a very musical background, and when Mom would sing the high harmony to You Are My Sunshine, I would naturally learn that part because I was following Mom's beautiful voice. So when I didn't sing that part and had to lead the melody, I naturally went up to the harmony part, and all these grown-ups turned around and looked at the three-year-old in astonishment. But then I grew
up prodigy with a voice.
Right. Well, and I grew up believing that everyone could sing. I absolutely knew that this was a part of my life for a reason, but I assumed it was a part of everybody's life. Until I started teaching and recognized how many people longed to sing but believed they couldn't.
Yeah, I think that many people don't realize that if they don't use song as a profession, they can certainly sing for enjoyment. I've always been an enthusiastic singer, even if I don't think that I have the very best voice out there. I just enjoy doing it. I have a pretty narrow range, but I enjoy it. And it's enthusiastic, you know, when you're singing or sitting around a group of Girl Scouts and, you know, everybody singing to a guitar or something around a campfire. It's a lot of fun.
Well, think about the holidays, how many songs there are that are internationally known. And why we know that spirit of the holidays are so uplifting, I believe it is in part due to song. We are now knowing that singing is as healing as laughter. When it comes from the laughter muscles.
Absolutely. I mean, I always think about Disney. I mean, you know, you have the holiday songs and everything, but there's some people who don't necessarily go along with Christmas. There are other faiths. But if you go to a place like Disney and you look at some of the music that's associated with Disney for very young people, actually for people just about any age, there isn't a single song, well, there isn't a single person out there, I think, who couldn't hear or find in the entire Disney lexicon at least one song that they really love or can relate to.
Well, I definitely agree, and I think Disney is probably one of my biggest, collaborators in my composition life. I listened to Disney and grew up with show tunes all my life, so I have a wide love of harmony mm-hmm. and sound to begin with. But then when I recognized how healing it was for so many other people, I really started delving into those kinds of qualities, the tonal quality, along with the kind of music that we're listening to for healing.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out exactly why it is that some music just moves you to tears and other music doesn't do anything for you. I guess it has to do with a resonance with what you relate to. But, you know, it's probably part of it. It has to do with the person who's singing, and I know that a certain part of it has to do with the emotions attached to what's being sung and the melody. But I, you know, I've always been moved by music, even though I haven't been someone who's played an instrument or pursued music as a, you know, either a hobby or as a profession. I have a great love and appreciation for it, and your songs are gorgeous. Just let me say that.
I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so totally welcome. My family's history also, we have a real strong thread of appreciation and love of the arts in my family, and my grandmother is 95, and she plays the flute, the piano, and the cello. I don't think she really ever sang, per se, but she pretty much has always played, since she was a young woman, professional-level flute, and she taught me and the rest of the people who are the older grandchildren in our family a strong appreciation for music and a love of singing song, music, playing music, whatever. And so a lot of my cousins became really proficient in the piano and other instruments as well. And so I have nothing but respect for people who use music and appreciate music because of how much it enhances everything. But I'm very interested in you talking a little bit more about the healing qualities of what you have discovered regarding music for the people that you have been coaching.
Well, it's been fascinating to me that when I first started coaching, I was still under the misnomer that some people could and some people couldn't. I mean, that's what I was taught in college. And I always knew in my heart of hearts that that just wasn't the case. So for whatever reason, I began to attract people that were told all their lives that they were tone deaf. And within an hour, when they started hearing beautiful tones coming out of their mouths and singing a song on key, they started to cry. Emotions were just released. And I assumed that it was partly because they were doing something that they were told and convinced that they could not do. And, of course, that is awakening in and of itself. But the other thing that was happening was that they were unlocking trapped emotions in the lower part of their abdomen very physically. And when I sing with those muscles, the core muscles of Dan Tian, fully engaged, which is how babies yell and scream, I'm not only releasing beautiful tones of music, but perhaps all the toxic emotions that shut me up in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So people began healing from emotional stagnation first.
Wow.
I've had a couple of people take themselves off of asthma medication with a doctor's okay, of course, because they've learned how to breathe differently. In fact, I worked with a couple of doctors who were singers on the side in bands, and they learned a lot about how to breathe and then took that to their patients that they hadn't ever gotten at the physical level before.
Mm-hmm.
One woman left her unhappy relationship because she said she found her voice. I worked with two or three stutterers who, in learning how to sing, of course, we know the phenomenon of Maltilus. And when they can connect the same singing voice with the speaking voice, stuttering stops.
Remarkable.
So I've worked with spasmodic dysphonia syndrome, all kinds of cerebral palsy, and just with the breathing and the using of the lower abdominal muscles, it just shifts and changes everything. And then
that's so powerful, yeah.
It is so powerful. And then I think another layer of the healing, Claudia, that starts to happen is that because I am thinking more of how I speak, how I breathe, how I'm using those stomach muscles, I can no longer think about what it is I'm going to say. Consequently, what I say comes through me from my center instead of from my ego babble monkey mind.
Yeah, I understand that. One of the wonderful things about teaching yoga is that the breathing techniques are probably very similar to what you teach with regards to learning how to breathe for singing, too, because you have to do that deep diaphragmatic breathing, whether you're singing or whether you're learning to take a full three-part breath. And I'm going to just one of the yoga techniques on breath. But, you know, it's really powerful when people learn how to let go, release those muscles, and see the difference that breathing can make, and then consequently they do find their voice. They do find the capability of seeing how their bodies are an instrument, and they can end up going forward beyond their limitations or their sense of limitations, let's put it that way. Yeah, and just recognize that limitations in many cases are really self-imposed.
Well, and that's usually the case because mom or dad or whoever told us to sit up and sit down, or, you know, shut up and sit down, may have only done that 150 times, but it's in ourselves, and we hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So to open our mouths to sing or to make a joyful noise, those nasty comments and the criticisms keep coming back until they don't anymore, which is why another powerful release that singing provides is that release of chemical hormones that somehow get trapped in those very cells when we hear that what we have to say or sing is not valuable.
Well, you know, it's sort of like freedoms of self-expression, whatever they might be. And you see it throughout so many different forms of art, okay? You know, people who have been told that they cannot do their kinds of art because it's against whatever limitations their family wants to impose on them, whether it's, well, we can't do art because it's we just don't have artistic talent that runs through our family, or we don't do art because our religion forbids it, or, and I'm thinking about Chaim Potok's book, My Name is Asher Lev, which is a fabulous children's book. And if people out there have never read it, it's a really incredible story, very, very powerful. I read it as an adult. But it also talks to this explosion beyond limitation, you know, whether it's singing, dancing, art, or, you know, this belief that you have to follow a specific way of thinking in order to achieve those results that you think are going to happen by following the bottom line. And, you know, by my saying that, I'm sort of leading into what you've been able to do with regards to yourself and your own healing as you've gone through life. Now, you started teaching voice back in 89, but I also know that you're a cancer survivor. So if you could speak a little bit about how your song and your voice impacted what you did to overcome cancer. That could be, I would like very much to hear something about that story.
Absolutely. It's been a phenomenal, wonderfully magical journey, and I say that with all the love and compassion for my body and the medical profession that I can, because as a proposed healer, as a sound person, as a singer, I was the last person anyone ever expected to have cancer, including myself. So I knew through my immediate meditation that I use with my music and the singing bowls and my toning that I got to use absolutely every single spiritual tool I have ever learned to get through this with grace and healing. And I got that message first off. And I said, okay, sweet spirit, I'm not sure what that means, but I know you'll show me. And I learned to have fun with it first, and that included using my music. So the very first directive I had for my family members upon the very first surgery last year at about this time was to sing me through surgery. I wrote up a little letter. I handed it to my sister, my mom, my dad, my stepmom, my husband, and she were all there in the waiting room singing our song, singing You Are My Sunshine, singing whatever they could think of for the 3.5-4 hour surgery I was in. And they noticed right away that it shifted everything in the waiting room, not only for themselves, but for everybody. The babble, the noise level quieted. The anxiety level that you could sense in the room, you could feel it was palpable, started to soften. They noticed that they could not stay in the drama. They couldn't worry about the time or what the doctor's doing or how I'm doing or any of that. It just totally shifted absolutely everything. And I had my surgeon play my affirmation CD so that they were able to stay in a positive flow and perfect peace as well.
Wow.
So those two things kind of kick-started my healing process. And it was interesting, Claudia. I found it very difficult, if not impossible, for quite a while for me to sing myself because of the surgery, where it was, how I was feeling. But that's when I learned how powerful it is to allow other people to sing through and for me.
Yeah.
And to open up to that kind of surrender and allowing other people to help me was a totally different, deeper level of surrender than I was able to go to before.
So what are some of your favorite songs that other artists have done that you were asking your family to sing while you were going through the surgery?
You Are My Sunshine. Anything from Jesus Christ Superstar, which everybody knows all the words to by heart in my family.
I didn't quite catch that. What was that?
Anything from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Whoa. Okay.
Or Hair, the more melodic ones, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we grew up singing. My sister and I sang lots of camp songs with harmony. My sister and I have put out, I think, 4 now CDs that my whole family, of course, knows all the words to. So those were all sung. Karen Drucker, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful artists were also involved because the surgeries did go quite long, and there were 4 of them, it turned out.
Oh, my goodness.
So the third surgery was quite the longest, and that's when they sang, and the surgeon said that the nurses came out singing my songs because they had to just loop it and play it over and over and over again. But they did. That was a cool thing.
Well, at least they probably came out of the whole thing in probably a much better state of mind than they would have had they not had your songs in there playing for them.
Well, it's amazing to think that, but I know at least it did me good. At the very least, you know.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah, that to me sort of goes without saying. And I mean, I'm not trying to diminish the impact that it had on you and the impact that it had on your surgeries and your healing. But, you know, when you have somebody who has that spiritual vibration and they're in a place like a hospital where doctors and nurses and other hospital personnel are dealing with the general public, and then they come across someone like you who shifts everything, they're probably not going to forget you.
Well, I love that, Claudia, because I call that a holy shift.
Yes, it is quite a holy shift.
Yes. Well, I have to share with you another way in which music shifted things. It's another favorite story, and it's very unusual why it's my favorite story, because it had to do with my colostomy.
Okay.
My second surgery wound up because after 3 days of my first dismissal, I woke up not being able to breathe.
Oh, no.
And a bowel had been ripped by taking off the infected cancerous ovaries when they gave me a hysterectomy.
Okay.
And I was full of sepsis and whatever else, and I was about ready to check out. I had to have a helicopter ride. This is the highest drama of the whole entire year.
Oh, my God.
Helicopter ride from Bloomington to Indianapolis, and I was just about ready to give up. And when I finally wound up coming back and I realized that I wasn't going to die after all, that's when I told my dad that I had quit being brave. I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm ready to go if God wants me. And he took my hand and said, honey, let us be brave for you.
Wow.
So that surgery wound me up with the colostomy. And again, I went within and said, okay, sweet spirit, how do I deal with this? And again, I heard her say, with humor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you've got to be kidding. So I named my colostomy Lucy. And I learned to love Lucy as well as I can. So one day in the middle of chemotherapy, not knowing yet that I needed to carry around a supply of extra bags, I had what we lovingly refer to in the medical terminology as a blowout. I was a mess. It was all over my pretty dress. I was in hysterics. I was down to, I think, 90 pounds by that point. I was so bony, standing in the bathroom with my mother waiting for the colostomy team to bring me another bag from the other side of the hospital wing. It took 40 minutes. I was so bony I couldn't sit down. I was so weak that I couldn't stand up. And my sweet little colostomy was just spewing and spewing, and I was in hysterics, and I was crying, and thank God my mother was with me, and she said, "Honey, I changed your diaper. This shouldn't be such a big deal." I said, "But Mommy, I'm 50 years old. This is gross. This is degrading. I can't believe it." And she said, "Maybe in a month or so we'll be able to laugh at this." And I said, "No way. There is no way. This is so gross. I'm never going to share this with anyone." All of a sudden, Claudia, my mother started to sing. "Today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine." My God, I started to sing the harmony with her. We sang through the whole song. With Lucy spewing, I was still sick and weak, but that changed absolutely everything. It made everything instantly sweet. My dream is that everyone feels comfortable enough with their own voice to sing their own family members or loved ones through Christ.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I would like to continue this conversation. We have to take a quick station break, and then we are going to return to talk to you some more. I wish we could stay here for another hour, but for right now we have about half an hour to go. But we will be right back in just a couple of minutes, Lauren, if you'll be kind enough to hang on for just a moment. This is Namaste Nutrition on GGM Radio, blogtalkradio.com, and we will be back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Holy Spirit, be my guide. Of myself I can do nothing. Seems it's always been my pride, shutting out what you've been offering. Holy Spirit, you decide. I don't know what anything means. I keep looking to the past to define what couldn't last when it's only now that's real. Holy Spirit, you decide, for I know you're always and when I listen with my heart and quiet my mind and let go of my fear, what could I be afraid of when I live my life through you? For I know what I'm made of, and you are eternal truth. Holy Spirit, be my guide. question is or why. Holy Spirit, you decide. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Holy Spirit, you decide.
Oh, doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Trust me, myself and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
You're listening to Greater Good Ministries Radio and Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. And now, back to the program.
This is Claudia Cleary and Namaste Nutrition. My guest today is Lauren Lane Powell, and we have been having a wonderful discussion about music, toning, and the impact of music on recovery and health from all kinds of medical conditions, including emotional ones, as well as some serious obstacles that Lauren herself has had to go through. Welcome back to the program, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Claudia.
You're welcome. I have been looking through your photographs on your Facebook page. Wow, the length of your hair.
Oh, isn't that something?
That is really amazing. That's quite remarkable. All the lengths of Lauren, and I have to tell you, it's really impressive to me that you are, you know, you're 50 or over 50. I can't
well,
really tell you.
Over 50 now. I'm 51 and a half. Do you believe it?
No, I don't, because your pictures do not show somebody who is that age. And I'm, like, looking at them going, oh, no, you do not look your age.
I sure appreciate that. I think it's all the thing, and I swear it's the oxygenation, the vibration, I tell you. It's healing on so, so many levels.
Yeah, well, it's very much reflected in your eyes, although the picture of you as a two-year-old sitting at the piano was quite remarkable, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, the eyes don't really seem to have changed all that much in the years that were in between. Let's talk a little bit more about what has happened to you since your surgeries. How long has it been since your last one?
My last one was when they reversed Lucy. They sent Lucy home.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that Lucy is not a permanent part of your life.
It was such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. It was the middle of January, that short ago. And that was by far my favorite experience in the hospital because I was healthier. I was finished with chemo. I had put my weight back on so they didn't have to stretch a lot of skin trying to sew me back up again. You know, I was just, it was a far cry from anything I had been through before, and it was just lovely, just lovely. But chemo was not that bad either, actually, I must say. And I know part of my prayer work was show me how to do this differently, like the Course in Miracles says, and I learned that I not only get to change the way cancer looks and feels, but I get to change the way chemotherapy looks and feels by doing it differently. So I said, okay, how? How does this work? And I was told to allow the chemo as medicine to help me and not listen to anything anyone was sending me, you know, about the poison and all the side effects. And you know, people are so helpful, but, man, they want to send me all the stuff I shouldn't be doing. And God, love them all. So I didn't read about ovarian cancer. I didn't look about what the side effects were with cancer. I mean, with chemotherapy, I decided that I was going to do this as lovingly and as spiritually as possible. And I didn't even have a clue what that meant. I said, kept saying, Spirit, show me how. So while I was getting the infusion of the chemo, sometimes for solid hours, sometimes for 2 solid hours. And it was an all-day process. I would listen to my music and stay as deep in the state of peace as I could. And I recognized that just like deep relaxation helps our digestive system, which is why watching pleasant things on TV and listening to good music while you eat is far better than watching something tragic and violent and all that stuff, we know. But listening to something that really put me in a state of meditation and grace, I believe, not only helped me receive the chemo as medicine and something very healing to my body, but in that place of peace, I was able to thank myself who were giving of their lives, the ones that were sacrificing themselves, supposedly the good cells that were dying as well. And I learned that the word sacrifice means to be made sacred. So in that place of meditation, I was able to thank myself for giving of their lives for my perfect health. And through those meditations, with that wonderful music, I learned that I needed to love my body back to health, not fight the cancer. Huge difference in vibration.
Well, yeah, it's a question of going with the flow instead of thinking that you have to pretend you're fighting off a vampire or something. It's not holding up a cross and going, no, it's just allowing. It's just allowing. Yeah, and I never thought to think about sacrifice as a way of making something sacred, but it's such a different way of looking at what's going on in your body compared to the traditional way of looking at a sacrifice. Sacrifice is to give up and to something that has to die.
And but exactly, in violent and to be made sacred and to be lifted up. Totally different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being able to stay in that feeling of peace also brought up anything that was not peaceful. So there were quite a number of my wonderful chemo dreamo treatment meditations in which I was sobbing through the whole thing. It allowed me to go through the rabbit hole when I needed to. Oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening and all that stuff. When I couldn't always stay in the spiritual framework, it was the music that took me through the emotions on purpose to be able to release them.
That's marvelous. Just out of curiosity, through your journey, because, I mean, going through ovarian cancer is pretty challenging, especially since most of the time, you know what I mean, they're working on getting things better. I did remember seeing something on the TED Talks once about a little boy who'd been able to create a test to determine whether or not people had ovarian cancer, among other things, and it was pretty remarkable. But I was just wondering if there were any books that you had picked up and been able to read that you found particularly beneficial for what you were going through. And if you could share those with your with our listeners so that they could pick them up and try reading them too.
Absolutely. You know, I think my lifeline was my journey on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the strength. My eyesight was wonky because of chemo. I literally did not read anything.
Mm-hmm.
And because I lived on Facebook primarily, I had a wonderful outlet through which to purge and to, you know, be held up in prayer and all kinds of wonderful things. And that began my documentation that I had no idea was going to turn into a book.
Wow.
And that is evolving now. Myself, but the book that I was gifted that I think really helped ease my mind through the hair loss was a book that my surgeon gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely beautiful. It's called Turning Heads, Portraits of Grace, Inspiration, and Possibility. All these magnificently beautiful women with no hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, if they could make a book on it, I can't deny, you know, just being able to be okay with this. So that's why I cut my hair off in stages, and finally through the chemo when it did start to fall out, even when it was very short or looking very thin and very weird, I went ahead and had it shaved myself. And as it grows in, I have to tell you, I'm having a ball with all the different lengths. And it's coming in completely different, as they say it will.
Mm-hmm.
I have beautiful salt and pepper. I've got silver and darker hair than I ever had before. And it curls.
That's fun. Yeah. What people don't realize is that your hair, and, you know, it's different for each person, but your hair goes through changes over the course of your life, just like your skin and your muscles and your body does. My hair was wavy and thick when I was, up until I was around 20, and then it started to grow in very, very curly. I don't know why, but it did. And if I let it, I'll get Shirley Temple corkscrews if
wow.
I get it at length. So if you're getting curly hair, have a blast with it.
Well, mine has been straight all my life and long and straight and brownish blonde, as you can see in some of the pictures. And now even my eyebrows are different. One of the fun things my mom and I did, one of my first outings after one of my first surgeries, was going out and buying wigs. And they're really beautiful, but they don't even match my eyebrows now because they came in a totally different color. It's a strange.
Oh, that's funny.
It is. It's kind of fun. And I learned how to have fun with hats.
So great.
You know, so the whole thing about using my music and having fun with it is however I could stay in a positive frame of mind or get there as quickly as possible when I wasn't. And I think that the combination of my music, which created that deep state of meditation, my diet, all provided very little, if any, side effects other than the hair loss. I never got sick, Claudia, ever. And I had weekly treatment for 18 weeks.
Wow. What have the doctors said about your prognosis into the future? But let's just rephrase that. What have you decided on about your prognosis moving into the future?
Oh, gosh, I am way beyond remission. I am so healed. The doctor said that I could start saying I was a cancer survivor after the very first surgery because that's when they believe they really took it all out. Chemo was, I guess, pretty much a rite of passage or just making sure that everything else was gone. But they said that, yes, everything has been so successful, and I was actually able to gain weight again on chemo, which whoever does that.
Nobody.
So I have a real love of my body in a different way. I recognize that when I was 50 and had reached a certain point of physical fitness, I was so proud of that I absolutely loved my body. And as soon as I was cut open, I realized, oh, my God, I was loving it so conditionally. I waited all this time and worked out so hard and watched my diet in order to be this particular shape and size in order to love who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got cancer and was cut from stem to stern. It's like, isn't this interesting? What a lesson on loving what is. Because it was the booty tummy that I was disgusted with. And I saw that disgusted look on my face, at my body. What a nasty vibration that puts out. Holy shit, you know?
That was a holy shift. Yeah, absolutely.
Love. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every part of me, I think, I know, has contributed greatly to my healing. And when I can't love it consciously, I sing about loving it. However I can get that feeling manifested, whether or not it's fake, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, fake it till you make it, it's real enough to create the feelings, and that's what we're going
mm-hmm.
for. So how can I love my body back to health? How can I love this big scar across my belly now and the
mm-hmm.
swollenness? And how can I love Lucy? Oh, my goodness. You know, and it was amazing how being present, mindful, meditating on it, and asking to be shown, I was guided every step of the way on exactly how and what that all means.
Mm-hmm.
And music and toning helped immensely by my getting into that frame of mind to be able to listen in the first place.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you real briefly, because we don't have a great deal of time. We're about to finish up the show. Two things. I'd like you to talk a little bit about your diet and also your contact information, if any of our listeners would like to contact you to get more information about your book.
Certainly, certainly. My contact information is www.harmoniesofhealing.com. And you can reach me on Facebook under Lauren Lane Powell.
That's good.
And my email address is singforyoursoul, all spelled out, singforyoursoul@AOL.com.
Fantastic. So real quick, could you talk just briefly about your diet and what you have done differently since your diagnosis?
Absolutely.
And how that changed. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. At first, when I was diagnosed, I reached out to everything I could about being totally alkalized, and I stopped doing the dairy, the meat, the this, the that, the everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was very healthy for me to do, but the other part was it was the only thing at the time that I could control. And there was probably 2 or 3 weeks between the diagnosis and the first surgery that was my main focus, is my meditation and my diet and my yoga. What can I be doing myself to help me heal? Afterwards, after the first 2 surgeries, and I had lost so much weight, I pretty much gave myself permission to eat anything just to put the weight back on again. Because when I first started chemo, I had gotten down to 89 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. How tall are you?
5'4".
Okay.
And my sister asked me to please take a photograph of it, and I reluctantly did, and I'm so grateful I did, because it has now won an award on MyPeaceTV.com.
Wow.
That my sister wrote a little bit about and submitted. It's an amazing photo. And an amazing amount of healing that you can see in it. So while I was actually healing and trying to gain weight, my mainstay was isogenics. I was able to drink 2 of those wonderful nutritive shakes a day, and then anything else I ate was just calories.
Mm-hmm.
Now I am balancing that with no more dairy. I'm drinking at the most goat's milk. I'm no more sugar. I love my coffee, so I love it into being healthy for me. I eat a lot more fruits and vegetables than I have before, and I am turning into a healthy cook. Yes, family, you heard it from me first. I have never cooked in my life. I understood the concept of cooking, just not that it applied to me. But that's something that I'm asking Sweet Spirit to help me fall in love with, too. If I can learn to love my cancer into health, I can learn to love to cook. And instead of asking my husband to change his diet, I am changing ours by doing a lot more of the cooking and actually beginning to enjoy it.
Well, that's wonderful. I think that part of the challenge with, you know, creating a healthy choice in foods is, you know, finding that place inside of you that takes joy in the food preparation and in getting creative with food to make it taste good and look good, as well as enjoying the process instead of looking at it as drudgery, and recognizing that it has an impact, because the energy that you infuse into the foods that you make from scratch play a huge role in how it impacts your digestion, your health, your absorption, and your overall well-being.
Oh, absolutely. And if I do it grudgingly, you taste that in the food.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And my husband cooks with such love. It's always healthy. But I eat more vegetables now, so I'm doing more of the cooking, and this is so interesting. Another holy shift.
Exactly, which I think is fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. Lauren, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here on the show. I can't thank you enough for joining us, and your voice is beautiful. My only problem with your music. Oh, you're welcome. The only challenge has been to hear your voice clearly through some of the technical glitches. So if anybody else has experienced that, I'm sure that you can connect with Lauren yourself privately to get a hold of some of the songs that she has recorded. And you have CDs up, correct?
Oh, absolutely. My newest one is called Chance to Heal, spelled C-H-A-N-T-S. And it has its own website, chancetoheal.com. And that's where the songs that you were playing came from.
They're beautiful.
Thank
absolutely
you.
Beautiful. I would like to take this moment in time just to say thank you again to all of our listeners as well. Please join us next week. And Lauren, thank you again. I hope that you return soon to update us on your journey and to give us some updates on how your health is doing. This has been Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary on www.blogtalkradio.com/GGM Radio. And I will see you next week at 1 p.m. Central on Namaste Nutrition. Namaste.